I want to say this before I get ready to preach. Hadn't the music been great this morning? Dear Lord, and good to see all you in church today. It's welcome to see all of you this morning. I'm so glad. I know I'm preaching. Oh, I'm sorry, Nancy. God bless you. Good to see you.
I'm sorry, but I don't want to take away from Jerry's song because he did an awesome job.
Yeah.
But I can't help but think of Roger because he's sang that song for so many years.
Yeah.
And could we have a special prayer for him? I'd like to see him back up on that stage singing that song again.
Hey, you want to sing it again?
I want Roger to be back up there.
Oh, yeah.
Singing this.
Amen.
Amen.
And I believe he will.
Amen.
No.
He did a tremendous job. But he sang it for so many
years. Yeah.
And I think we need special prayer for him.
Thank you, Nancy. I want you to know we are praying for all the folks we got right now fighting cancer. We got several. Brother Roger is in St. Mary's, right? Hospital. He's doing better. And I want y'all to pray. He started out well over, the ventilator is over 80%, and he's down to 50 now. And I still believe that God's going to bring him out of there. I just believe that. And I'm going to pray for him when I pray, but not just for him. We got several that's fighting cancer right now. And it's a battle. They can't be here right now. And I want to say to the people on live stream that have the underlying conditions, we love you. We miss you. And we are praying for you. And I want to say to the healthy that's not here, you need to get out to the house of God. But now I want to tell you, if you got an underlying condition, I'm praying for you, and I know you miss being here, and I love you, and I want to pray for you. And I just before I read the text, let me pray for her.
Preacher, yeah.
Go ahead, real loud.
I just want to say the last 5 weeks have been the hardest week of our lives. I had cancer 10 years ago, and it was bad. When I lost my dad 6 years ago, but when I lost my brother 4 years ago,
yes.
It was so different.
Bless you, Tim.
Bless you, Tina.
And it broke my sister's heart. And we're still broken about it. We know
yes.
That's not the point. I just know that God's with me, even though it's been so hard. I don't know whether God's trying to increase my faith or the devil's trying to kill me. I don't know which one it is. But I'm thankful that he's with me. And I want to tell you, people, that God can still use us.
Yeah. Well,
and you know what? He was a case then. And he was a worst case till he got saved.
Amen.
Amen.
He didn't know anything. He surprised people that don't know anything.
So yeah. Yeah.
God can still use us and he got saved.
Yes, he can. Pray for Roger and all the folks that's sick and with cancer and other diseases. I can't name them all. If I start, I'll miss somebody, and I don't want to do that this morning. But I want to tell all of you, you know who you are. You listen by way of live stream this morning. I love you, and this prayer is for you. This prayer is for you while you're hurting. This prayer is for you while you're suffering. This prayer is for you to assure you that we got a God of deliverance. And he has healing under his wings. Our Father, I want to pray for those this morning that are under a load. I want to pray for that dear deacon that's down there in the hospital. Right now, God, I pray you'll just put that spirit of life in him. Deliver him from this illness. We're claiming it. Because we're claiming the blood of Jesus over him. I pray you deliver him out of that hospital. Bring him back, Lord. I don't like teaching his Sunday school class. I'm just doing it to be here. Bring him back so he can teach again and be vibrant again and sing the song the sister talked about again. And Lord, I pray not only for him, but every person I could think of and see in my vision that are hurting so bad. And all those with underlying conditions that are so frightened with this disease, I pray you'll protect them and not allow the COVID-19 or any harm to come to them. Lord, help us to claim what I'll be preaching this morning. In Jesus' name, for his sake, amen. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 24. I'm just going to read one verse of scripture. I'm going to say three things by way of introduction just to do an exegesis of this scripture. And then I'm going to preach from a theme that we find from Genesis to Revelation. It's interwoven through the whole Bible. And I want to preach it this morning. And I got something on my heart. The Bible said, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on, somebody say it, the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness. Now claim this last verse, sick folk. Claim this last verse, you that are dead in sin and sick in sin, by whose stripes ye were healed. I'm glad for the stripes of the Lord Jesus. Stripes that will heal you from your sin. Hey, I believe stripes that can heal you from your sickness. I believe if we would pray and claim the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus has not lost its power. The blood of Jesus can reach down to St. Mary's Hospital. Hey, ladies and gentlemen that's listened to by the way of live stream, the blood of Jesus can reach into your home and touch your life and heal your life and bless your life. Somebody help me preach. I want to say three things by way of introduction and then give you the thought. And I'm going to take you through the Word of God as much as I can. First of all, look at verse 24, the who. That's the person. I want you to know religion can't help you. Hey, somebody help me preach there. Having your name on a church book ain't going to get you to heaven. The day you were baptized isn't going to get you to heaven. There's only one person can get you to heaven, and that is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we see the person, and then we see the problem. Who his own self bear our sins. I'll tell you what our problem is. Not needing a new socialistic government. Not needing more help from the government. Our hope today and our need today is for our sin. See, it's our sin that separates you from God. You're here today and you may be a good moral person. You may be a nice guy or nice lady. But you've never been saved. Your sin is what's separating you from God. Your sin is what's going to get you into hell. Hey, Christian, if you're backslidden today, it's your sin that's going to cause you to lose fellowship and lose joy and lose peace. Somebody help me preach this morning. Then number three, and this is the sermon. Who his own self bear our sins. That's the person, the problem, in his own body. And say it with me. On the what? The tree. That's the prescription. Can I tell you what the hope of America is? Can I tell you what the hope of your soul is? It's found in a tree. It's found in a person that died on the tree. I can't hardly take myself right now. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to be your usher. How many's got a Bible? Wave them at me if you got one. And if you're using a cell phone, wave that at me. I don't give a flip. You're just going to have to push buttons quick. I want to be your usher. And I want the Holy Ghost to be your guide. And I want to take you from Genesis to Revelation and preach this theme. Truth from trees. Truth from trees. I studied the Bible, and I'm not a topical preacher, but every once in a while I like to get a word and go in the Bible and search it out all the way through the scripture and get its meaning and get its real glory. And how many of y'all agree with me? The Bible says a lot about trees. I want you to take your Bible. Go first of all to Genesis chapter 3. Will y'all follow me? I want you to follow me closely. Go to Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 8. I want to talk about a tree there. First of all, I want to talk about a sinful man behind a tree and God's provision for salvation. The Bible says in verse number 8, are you there? Say amen. Amen. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. In other words, when they fell into sin and the fall of man, before the fall, they were in innocency, they were in nakedness, and they didn't realize it. It wasn't awful, but the moment they sinned, they went and hid themselves behind a tree and put an apron of fig leaves. And by the way, the apron of fig leaves is a picture of work salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved. Somebody say amen. I see three things. Look at verse 7 and 8. I see man's alienation from God. First thing they done, they tried to cover up. And we got a bunch of people, saved and unsaved, they cover up. Hey, the Bible said, he that covers sin shall not prosper. The only way that you can be saved, the only way you can be right with God, is quit covering up your sin. Quit covering up your gossip. Quit covering up your unforgiveness. Quit covering up your bitterness. Quit covering up your drunkenness. Hey, amen. Verses 9 through 12, look at them. I see man's confrontation with God. Boy, this is great. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Whew. Somebody help me preach. Not only did they hear the voice of God talking, but they heard the voice of God walking. Jeff, I got a God that knows where we all are. And his voice will walk right in your neighborhood. If you're here this morning, lost. You know what God's doing right now? He's talking to you, but also he's walking back where you are and saying to you, you're going to have to deal with your sin. He's saying to you, you're going to have to get right with God. You know what he done in confronting Adam and Eve? Hey, he said a condemnation to them. He confronted them about their sin. He said, why are you hiding? Come on now. Why are you hiding? By the way, your fig leaves are not going to do it. Your religion's not going to do it. You need me to do it. Then I see man's determination by God. You know what God done? He started confronting man. Here's what he done. He said, well, I'm going to start first of all with serpent. By the way, I don't know if y'all know this. I'll give you some biblical truth. Serpents didn't always slime on their bellies. At one time, they were beautiful creatures that had legs. But when the fall of man came, God cursed the serpent and put him on his belly. And by the way, one of these days, he's going to put the old serpent, the devil, in hell. Somebody help me. Whew. I don't even know if I'm going to get past point one. I'm so, whoa. Then he told the ladies, you want to know why? That you go through travail and childbearing? You have labor pains? When you had that baby, you had all those labor pains? It happened because of the curse. Somebody help me preach. And then he said to man, you're going to start working. By the way, hear me. Before the fall, there was no thorns. Why do you think the Lord, when he died, they planted a crown of thorns on his head? You know why, Lois? Because he was going to take that curse and deliver us from the curse of the law and redeem us unto his. Somebody help me preach. I want to pray, oh, glory to God. I see a man standing behind the tree, and I see a God. Somebody help me preach. A God that provides salvation. Let me tell you what happened. Boy, I got to go on. You know what God done? He gave him the first messianic prophecy. Look at verse 15. He announces the provision. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. That's the Antichrist, by the way. And that shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. When Jesus died upon the cross of Calvary, Satan bruised his heel. But I want all y'all to know, you want to know how to kill a snake? You sure don't get it by its tail. What you do, you stop it on the head. Or do like I do, get me a pistol and shoot it right in the head. I want you to know something. When Jesus died on Calvary, when he shed his blood on Calvary, when he redeemed our soul, he took the curse. He became sin. Somebody help me preach. And you know what else? That day, God taught Adam and Eve blood atonement. He killed an animal. That animal was innocent. Christ was innocent. He shed that animal's blood. Christ's blood was shed. He took the skins off of that animal and put it on Adam and Eve. Somebody asked me, is Adam and Eve saved? They sure are. And you'll see them in heaven. And you know what God's greatest act of grace was? When they were getting run out of the garden, God put a cherubim up at the tree of life, would not let them eat it, because if they had ate it, they'd have been eternally lost. But God blocked it so they one day could receive Christ. And right there in the garden, Jesus Christ was preached to them. I'm trying to turn to, y'all still got your Bibles? Wait, turn to Luke chapter 19. First of all, we see a sinful man behind a tree. But Luke chapter 19, 1 through 4, I see a seeking man up a tree. By the way, you're here this morning. You don't want to go to hell. You don't want to die in your sin. You want to be eternally doomed. Seek Jesus. Find Jesus. I'm not talking about Muhammad. I'm not talking about the Pope. I'm not talking about religion. You need to find him. Y'all got your Bible there? And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, was of the chief among the publicans, not Republicans. And he was rich. Listen to this. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Hold a minute. You know what he wanted? He wanted to see Jesus. But he was a short man, and he couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. Well, I want to say something. There's a whole lot of you right now in this room and listen by live stream. You know what's keeping you from heaven? The crowd. What are they going to think? What are they going to do if I get saved? How are they going to view me? It don't matter how they're going to view you. You ought to thank God how he views you. Somebody say amen right there. Whew, glory. I see a seeking man up a tree, the pursuit of salvation. First of all, verse 3, he had a great desire. He sought to see Jesus. I'm going to say something to you. And I'm going to say this as mild as I can. Don't put your eyes on me. Don't you even put your eyes on religion or the church, because they'll fail you. The best I am, I ain't perfect. But I'm pointing you to somebody that never sinned, that never lied, that bore your sin on Calvary. Amen. And he sought him. Best thing you can do this morning. You're in church this morning, so that tells me you got a desire for God. You're in church this morning. If you're lost, here's what you need to do. You need to look beyond my failures. Hey, somebody says, well, there's hypocrites in the church. Well, I want to tell you what. Hey, if that hypocrite's in the church is hindering you from serving God, that means that hypocrite is closer to God than you are. I ain't going to tell you there ain't hypocrites in the churches. Hey, Jesus had one in 12, so what does that tell you? But you get your eyes off the hypocrite. You get your eyes off religion. I don't come to church because this person or that person, they may be somebody I don't even care how they act, but I want you to know, I ain't looking to them. I'm looking to Jesus. I know a lot of people, they're not serving God. They don't want to go on for God because they're looking at somebody. You don't need to look at somebody. You need to look at the Lamb of God. Not only did he have a great desire, it was a great day. Let me ask you something. How many saved in this room? Raise your hand up. Whew. What was the greatest day of your life? Now, being married to Marguerite was my second best day. But my best day was January 31st, 1973, when Jesus came to my house. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And then verse 9, Jesus said, this day is salvation come to his house. Thank God for great... That was a red letter day. I tell you, if you're a seeking sinner, I got a saving Savior. By the way, he wants to meet a seeking sinner and save him. If you're here this morning, oh, listen to me. Please listen to me. God wants to save you. All you got to do is seek him. All you got to do is want him. All you got to do is believe he died and was buried and rose again. How many want to hear a little more? I think I will give you a little more. Number 3, look at John 1:48. Y'all going? How many got your Bibles there? I'll show you thirdly, a sincere man under a tree. Whew. And that is the prospect of salvation. Can I tell you what? I don't have a Calvinistic bone in me. I believe in whosoever will. By the way, if it wasn't whosoever will, I don't think I'd have got in. Amen. Now, Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. And by the way, write down your notes, the fig tree is a type of Israel. And by the way, God's going to save his people Israel. First of all, I want you to notice this about Nathanael, his doubts about Jesus. Look at verse 43 through 46, especially verse 46. Here's what he said. And Nathanael said, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Let me ask you something. Can I look at me? What did the devil do in the garden to Eve? He hadn't changed today. He tried to make her doubt God's word. I want you to know something. Here's God's word. You're a sinner. You're on your way to hell. And the only hope for you is the blood of Jesus. And you need to remove yourself from doubt. Hey, by the way, you said, well, I just can't believe that Jesus, something he died, was buried, and rose again. Oh, yeah. Well, you believe in some of this evolution stuff. Hey, I want to tell you something. If you believe in that evolution process that's taught in the public schools, you ought not be left alone by yourself. They still looking for the missing link. See, I want you to know something. You want to be saved? Here's what you got to do. You got to believe in the virgin birth. You got to believe in the vicarious death of Christ. You got to believe in the resurrection of Christ. And if you believe the death, burial, and resurrection, and believe he died and was buried and rose again, you are a candidate to be saved. There's a prospect for you to be saved. There's a hope for you to be saved. Whew. Oh, glory. And then verse 47, 48, his disbelief in Jesus. He not only doubt, he didn't believe. Look at verse number 48. Nathanael said to him, whence knowest thou me? And look when things start picking up. Jesus answered unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Here's what old Nathanael said. Well, how did he know I was under the fig tree? Yeah. And you know what that did? That made him discover who Jesus was. I want you to know something. Jesus knows who you are. Jesus knows where you are. Jesus knows what you're doing in your life. Jesus knows all about you. Somebody help me preach. Hallelujah. His discovery. You know what Jesus said? You know what Nathanael said after Jesus said, I saw you under the tree with Philip? You know what he said? You know what Nathanael said? He said this, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. And the reason he said King of Israel, he was declaring that he was the Jewish Messiah because he was under the fig. Somebody help me preach. You're here this morning. You might say, well, there ain't no hope for me. Oh, there is. Because there's a prospect for you. All you need to do is trust him. Number four, turn back to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Will you go there real quick? It's where we started. Number four, I see a sinless man up on a tree. The price of salvation. Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree. That we being dead to sins should live under righteousness. Somebody say it. By whose stripes ye are healed. Listen. The word vicarious, the word bear, is the same as vicarious. See, you can't pay for your sin, sir. Ma'am, you can't pay for your sin. because we got sin in our blood. If all of us died on the cross, it would help nobody. But Jesus was the sinless Savior who bore our sins vicariously. That word bear, Chad, means to carry or take the load off another. How many can wave at Jesus and say, thank God for the day that he took the load off me. He took my sin. He took my burden. He took my pain. He took my suffering. He took my load and put it on him that I can have his righteousness. And he put it on me. And before God right now, I stand as if I never sinned, declared righteous by the blood. Woo! Not only a vicarious death, but a virtuous atonement who did no sin. I want everybody to look at me. The reason Jesus could die and pay the price, he did no sin. He couldn't sin because he wouldn't. And he wouldn't sin because he couldn't. Whew. The Old Testament sacrifices provided temporary atonement, but Christ's death provided full and final atonement. In the Old Testament, the sheep died for the shepherd, but in the New Testament and upon the cross, the shepherd died for the sheep. Whew. Then I see in verse 24 a victorious atonement who his own self bear our sins in his own body. And lastly, it said, by his stripes we were healed. Let's look some paradoxes. He died and we get to live. We died with him and we're dead to sin. He was innocent and we were guilty. He was wounded and we were healed. Can I give you just a little testimony before I finish? January 31st, 1973, I was a wounded man. My poor mama prayed for me every day. And she used to call me escapee from the chain gang. And I want to tell you what, I was in sin and I was the pace car. How many remember that day? You were so wicked, so bad, so defiled. Somebody help me. But because he died, I can live. And because he died, I got hope. And because he died, I have righteousness. Somebody help me. Because of that sinless man that took my place. Whew. I'm going to give you one real quick, and then I want to go to the last one. A saved man is like a tree.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Can I tell you something, Rich O'Brien? When I got saved, I became a tree. Some of you is looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. Look what the Bible said. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Oh, glory. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. First of all, we need to be separated from the world. We shouldn't walk with sinners. That's initially contemplating sin. We shouldn't stand in the way of sinners. That's gradually entertaining sin. And we need not to sit in the sit with sinners. That's fully cooperating with sin. But we're saturated with the word. And we're situated by the water. Look what it said in verse 3. It said we're like a tree. That's a picture of stability. Somebody help me. Now, in my flesh, Tim, I'm as unstable as water. But in Christ, I have stability. We by rivers of water. That's a picture of the Holy Ghost in me. We bear fruit. By the way, I don't believe works will save you, but I believe this, that if you're saved, you'll work. Amen. Somebody help me preach. It says, leaf shall not wither. That's a picture of security. I want everybody to know, unsaved person, listen to me. If you'll let God save you this morning, he will not put you on probation, but he'll save you forever, and you'll have eternal security, and you'll never be lost, nor will you ever lose it. Whew. And then we will prosper. You know what, Rich? I was a bartender's boy, and I was least likely to succeed. But God's grace found me. Called me to preach. I preached 6 months after I got saved. I have been preaching now for 47 years. And God has blessed me a little. Somebody help me preach. I say this, if God, you let God save you, he won't let you be hanging out and being a loser. He'll prosper you. Lastly, I'm done. I want to show you one more thing. I'm done. Turn, I told you Genesis to Revelation, didn't I? Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Josh, up there, I added a point. I want y'all to go, everybody go here. I want to show you a satisfied man by a tree, which is talking about the perfection of salvation. Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal. Look at it, folks, proceeding out of the throne of God and in the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life. You say, what tree is that? The one the cherubims guarded, which bear 12 manner of fruits and yields their fruit every month. And the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Listen to this. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. A satisfied man, his fruit and his favor. How many are you glad that God favored you with salvation?
Amen.
And listen to this, and our future. I'm pretty satisfied. I'm going to say something. We're living in dark days, aren't we? This country has went crazy. The whole world's crazy. But I want all y'all to help me. You might even want to clap and shout. Our future's bright. Everything's happening is leading to us getting ready to leave this place and go to another place. Well, there'll be no sickness. There'll be no sorrow. There'll be no backbiting. There'll be no mischief. But we'll be in a place of favor and a place where we have a future. And ladies and gentlemen, the only way you can have this future is by trusting Christ. Bow your head with me. Here's how you be saved. You realize you're a sinner. If you know you're a sinner today, you're a candidate to be saved. You realize Christ died. And you realize that he shed his blood. And all you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. How many folks right now, if you died today, are 100% sure you go to heaven? Raise your hand. And on live stream, you raise your hand. Thank you. How many folks right now, you see the times are bad. You see what's going on. How many right now that's in this room or listening by live stream, you're not saved? And you say, preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. And before I die and go to hell, before the Lord comes, I want to be saved and I want to know I'm saved. And I do believe that he died on the tree for me. If you believe that and you'd like to go to heaven before you die, would you just raise your hand and say, pray for me? Just raise them up. I won't say nothing. I ain't gonna tell nobody. God bless that hand, somebody else. Just sip it up. Say, preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. I believe what you preached on. I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. Preacher, I want to be saved. Just sip your hand up. Anybody else? I'm going to pray for you. Then we'll give you an invitation. You come. Our Father, right now I want to pray for those that are lost in this room. There's people that didn't raise their hand. They're here, so I believe they have a desire for you. I believe they want to go to heaven. I believe that they care about their eternity. Oh, they wouldn't even be here this morning. And I pray right now you'll draw them to you. Not to me, not to religion, but to Christ. And I'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me.